About half the folks are on vacation. I'm glad that you are here. I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Would you stand together with me as we read the Word of God? 1 John chapter 1, reading from verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we just come to you this morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done for us through Christ Jesus, our King. We pray, Lord God, that today our relationship with you through Christ will deepen and grow. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all of our church family that is on vacation this week and traveling, that you give them traveling mercies, that they have a wonderful time just relaxing. For those of us who are still at home, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just energize our lives, pour out the Holy Spirit upon us, that we might grow in your grace. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. What does it mean that I am saved? I mean, when you talk about being saved, when you share your salvation experience, or when you hear somebody talk about that experience that they have had with God through Christ, what is it that first comes to your mind? Perhaps it is the forgiveness of your sins. Or maybe it is eternal life with God, a home in heaven one day in the very presence of Almighty God. And both of those things are correct. When we ask Christ into our lives, we ask Him to forgive our sin. Our past is eradicated. We no longer have to suffer under a load of guilt. And as the songs that we sang this morning, we no longer have to live our lives in fear of death. What does it mean when we say, I am saved? Well, I believe it means something even deeper than those things. As important as it is to say that our sins are forgiven, that our past has been canceled, as magnificent as it is to say that heaven is our future home, surely there is something between the forgiveness of my sin and heaven. But if you looked at how we preach and teach and talk about salvation, most of the time, those are the two things you get. Forgiveness of sin and heaven, or eternal life. I'm convinced that it is time that we move on, as the writer of the book of Hebrews says, beyond the elementary things of the gospel. For you see, I'm convinced that what the New Testament fleshes out for us, that is inculcated in the words we have here, is that you and I have actually, through the blood of Jesus Christ, entered into a covenant relationship with God. Let's read the passage again. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship or communion with us. And truly our fellowship or communion is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in both times, the word that is translated fellowship, or your Bible may say communion, is the Greek word koinonia. It is the idea of a relationship, a deep and meaningful relationship. Certainly we understand that we can have and do have relationships with one another. And we think about the most meaningful of our relationships, our married relationship, our relationships with our children. Certainly those are or should be some of the deepest relationships that we experience in this lifetime. But interestingly enough, when John writes, he says, listen, not only can you have this deep, meaningful relationship with one another, you can also have this koinonia, this deep, meaningful relationship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have just ended up 30 days of a personal soul-winning challenge. And a number of you have been able to share with me how God used the tracts that you were given to share Jesus with friends, with neighbors. We have seen folks won into the kingdom of Christ in the past 30 days because of the witness that you gave, many times using the tracts that you receive. And I praise God for that. And as I was sharing with the church this past Wednesday night, how is it that we maintain that focus? How is it that we keep this up throughout the summer, that we are thinking about and conscious of the opportunities that the Holy Spirit brings to us to share Jesus? Now, I could continue to preach your simply evangelistic type sermons and keep your focus maintained on the cross in that fashion. However, as I began praying and began thinking and at the urging of the deacons, I began to understand that what we really need to focus on and talk about to maintain this focus of soul winning, which I believe is to be a part of every Christian's life, is that we all need individually and together to go deeper with God. We need to think about our relationship with God as being more than God forgave my sins so that one day when I die, I can go to heaven. As true as that is, as wonderful as it is, as magnificent as that is, there is something to take place between my experience of the cross of Calvary and my experience of the bliss of heaven. Some call it simply the Christian life. And we could have called this summer and say, we're going to focus on what it means to live the Christian life. And indeed, we'll do that. However, I want us to have a real sense of what this is about. Jesus Christ has saved us so that we can experience a real relationship with God. Think about that. The Creator God of the universe has said that it is possible that I have the potential within me because of what Christ Jesus has done for me to have a real intimate relationship with God. Just like the relationship that I can have with other people. That is amazing to me. Absolutely amazing. I mean, isn't it enough that God forgave my past? Isn't it enough that God has this home in heaven for me? And yet God says, look, I want you to experience me. As a matter of fact, Paul puts it this way. He says, you and I have the potential to participate in the very life of God. Now, with that thought in mind, there are a couple of other passages that I want to introduce you to today. And these three passages are going to be the passages that guide us and give us the boundaries for our discovery of this relationship with God for the remainder of the summer. Would you take your Bibles, first of all, and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. All right, so first of all, I know that I have the potential, because of what Christ has done for me, to have a real intimate relationship with God like I can with people. I can have that relationship with God in this lifetime. That's the first thing that we have laid out for us. The second thing, this is a passage, I absolutely love the wording of this passage. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 12, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent bear it away." Now, what is it that Jesus is talking about? What is it that Jesus means? Because he uses a word, violence, in a context that you and I don't often associate with this particular word. What Jesus is saying is that those who are really striving, those who are working, those who are just not satisfied with where they are the people that are progressing within the kingdom of God. You see, I believe it is possible for me to be really saved. I mean, totally saved. Nobody can take it away from me. I am for sure going to heaven when I die, and I surely have the forgiveness of my sins. I believe that it is possible for a person to be at that point and never to progress in their relationship with God. Either because no one ever told them that they could, or they don't understand the message of the Scripture, or something has taken place and they just kind of plateau right where they start. Now, surely every one of you knows that has been married any length of time, and most of you have been married, that we can say of our marriages, you know, I had the privilege yesterday of marrying Justin and Sarah Beth. And, oh, I got choked up a couple of times. It was great. I got a daughter yesterday, and my wife and I, after waiting 26 years, got this daughter, and we did not have to go through near the pain to get her that we did those three boys of ours. I'm going to tell you that. It is great. Emmanuels, I'm telling you, in a while, you will get daughters. I promise. I'm standing there looking at them, and they are just so in love. I mean, it's lovey-dovey. You know, they're going on the honeymoon. And I thought about them last night on their drive down. They finally arrived in Jekyll Island about 15 minutes after 11. And I was just praying for them. Lord, let them enjoy each other. Let them. I just want them to be so much in love and just have this great honeymoon experience. And all of us that have been married remember that time. We also remember what happens after we come back home. We continue to have that glow of the honeymoon for 6 months, a year, some of us up to 2 years or even longer. And then all of a sudden, life sets in. We've got to go to work. We have babies. And we are just wrapped up in the busyness of life, so much so that it is really easy to allow our marriage relationship to suffer. We don't realize it at first. We do not realize it at first. A period of time goes by, and all of a sudden we wake up one day and we say, you know, I'm not as close to my spouse as I used to be. What has happened to that spark? I still love them. I made vows, I'm going to stay with this, I care for them, but that passionate fire is just, it's not what it used to be. And so we'll go to some marriage retreats, or we'll take a married couples class at church, or maybe we even go see a marriage and family therapist or a pastor or somebody, and we try to get back, we try to captivate what we once had. And we usually think of it as that highlight experience of the passion that we experience on the honeymoon. Do you remember when John wrote the book of Revelation? He said to one of the churches that the problem they had is they have lost their first love. You know what? If that can happen with the person that I have committed my life to, that I'm living with, that I can touch and feel every day. Do we not realize that that can happen between us and God? Not on God's part, but on our part. Because, I mean, hey, though we might say, and we use this kind of language, we can feel God. Can't reach out and touch Him. Sometimes we can't even feel Him. We come to worship and it's just kind of like clockwork. It's just something we do. We haven't stopped loving God. We haven't stopped believing in God. We haven't stopped living for God. We're reading His Word. We still pray. But the passion, the fire of the honeymoon begins to go out because of the things of life that just take place. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent bear it away. Those who are really captivated by the kingdom, they're aggressive for the kingdom. They refuse to let that initial honeymoon experience with God die away. They want it more than anything else. Like David said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my heart longs for God. The Bible over and over again tells me that an intimate, real relationship with God is possible, and I have that potential within me because of what Christ has done for me. But the Bible also tells me it's something I've got to work at. Like any other relationship I'm in, it requires work. It requires study. It requires focus. Now, I know the relationship is possible. I'm even introduced to that in the Old Testament. The Bible tells me that Enoch walked with God. The Bible relates to me that Abraham was the friend of God. The Bible says that David was the man after God's own heart. But do you realize that according to the book of Hebrews, all of those men in that Old Testament era were underneath a veil that as long as the first tabernacle stood, they could not experience the boldness of entering into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of Almighty God like you and I can? Christ has made a way for us that Abraham and Enoch and David never experienced in their lives. They looked forward to it, but it had not yet been accomplished. But now it has been accomplished. And yet many of us are stalled in our growth with God. Many of us would have to be honest and say, you know, my relationship with God used to be red fire hot. My relationship with God was so intimate. He was always on my mind and my heart. He was leading and guiding and directing. I might have been attacked by a multitude of things, but I had the peace of God that passes all understanding. God had done that for me. For some of us, we would have to be honest and say, you know, those embers begin to die when we were teenagers. That we had that passion for God back when we were at youth camp and we were in high school and maybe in our early years of college. I can remember the times when on Tuesday nights we would have Campus Crusade for Christ in high school. And all of us from all different kinds of churches, we'd gather in each other's homes and somebody had a guitar and they'd play and the Campus Crusade minister was there and he'd lead us in a Bible study and everybody was praying. We wanted to follow God. We wanted to hear God speak to our everyday lives. Now, older, mature, supposedly wiser. It's kind of catch a prayer here with God, catch a prayer there. And Jesus says, the problem is you've lost your first love. The problem is the honeymoon's over. And you've not figured out that you've got to have some aggression in this relationship to desire it and want it. Paul puts it this way. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Paul does not say work it in. Paul does not say work it up. Paul says work it out. The salvation experience of the forgiveness of sins, breaking the stranglehold of death, has already been experienced. Now that has been experienced, work it out. And he says, work it out in fear and trembling. As Jesus said, there's got to be a focus, there's got to be an aggressiveness in this relationship that we have with God, that we just want more and more of God. And what is it that Paul says, or how is it that Paul says? He says, work it out. Live this thing out. Desire God. I have a question for you. Do you desire God more than anything else? We all have desires. We have physical desires, physical needs, mental needs and desires, emotional needs that need to be met. But where in all that does God fit? I got the sweetest card from my wife for our 26th wedding anniversary. She makes me cards. We don't buy anything from Hallmark, and it's not because we're cheap, though we are. It's just that we like to figure out what we can make and draw. We're like a bunch of second graders, and we've been doing this for several years. And I get her to make them a certain size. She can't give me just any card. It's got to be a certain size, got to be folded in a particular way, because what I do with these cards, I'm in my truck just all the time, and I put them where I can see what she's written. In part of it goes in my glove box, and the other part just kind of hangs out so I can see it. And it's there before me all the time. 26th wedding anniversary. On the inside of the card, she taped this little heart, and she put in there these words. Man, they just thrill me to death. I was so excited when I opened up the card and read it. She said, "Chuck, you are number two in my life. Chuck, you're number two in my life." And I thought, you know, that's the order it's supposed to be. The number one in her life is God. And she is passionate for Him. And I know that when she is passionate for God through Jesus Christ, that she is going to be passionate for me. We wonder why sometimes as believers that our relationship with our kids is not quite what it ought to be, or our relationship with our spouse is not quite what it ought to be. Sometimes it's because we have our priorities out of order. You see, if I'm hot after God, I'm going to be hot after the things that God has given me. And God gave me a wonderful wife, 3 beautiful sons, and a gorgeous daughter. God gave me you. The question is today, are you passionate for God? Or have you let that relationship slip?